You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Big week of golf this week. We've got the Open de France, which takes place at the Golf National, which is where the Ryder Cup will take place this year as well. And we've also got action in the PGA Tour from the Quicken Loans National. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton, filling in for Dave Kellner, who's on holiday this week. And I'm joined in the studio by Golf Podcast regular Dave Tindall.
Hi, hello. Dave. Are we just saying that to sort of emphasise that Dave's sort of off again.
Off again.
Yeah. Another holiday.
His attendance is terrible on the Golf Podcast these days.
I know. Where's he gone this time? Hopefully somewhere where it's actually colder than Britain.
Well, he's on holiday from work. He's on annual leave, but he's not actually gone anywhere. So
right.
He's just probably sat at home.
In his pants. Eating Haribo.
Yeah. That's a lovely image for the listeners there. But his loss is my gain, as I get to fill in this week. Just a quick look back at last week before I get stuck into what's coming up this week as well. Bubba Watson, of course, winning the Travellers Championship. That's a hat-trick of Travellers Championship titles for him. The impression that Paul Casey kind of threw it away, but time and time again we see with Bubba, where he's played well in a tournament before, he tends to play well there again.
That's right. I mean, in hindsight, sort of missed a trick. You should maybe just say, if Bubba ever goes to sort of one of these courses where he has won multiple times, such as Augusta National, Riviera, just back him blindly, whatever sort of form he's in. Because I think he's won twice this year, for goodness sake. So he's hardly not in form, but I think he just tapered off in the last few weeks and that maybe put me off him. But I think in future I will now just back him whatever. I mean, he was a decent price as well. It's not so he went off at 14. Mm. So he was, 35, something like
that.
He went out and won it on the final day with a 63. Casey, 4-shot lead going into the final round, and unfortunately a rather familiar script for Paul Casey. He did win the Valspar earlier this year, first win in America since 2009, but that tells you the story. He's had so many chances to put wins on the board, but he came up short again.
Yes, so that was the Travellers Championship. In terms of the BMW event that we had last week as well, Matt Wallace won that, holding off an unbelievable final round from Thorbjørn Olesen.
Yeah, 61 from the day, and that was his lowest ever 18 on the European Tour. Matt Wallace is an interesting one. That's now 3 wins in 39 starts for the Englishman, and he was a prolific winner on the Alps Tour, and you're thinking, can he sort of step up? And wow, can he step up? I mean, 3 in 39, that is a tremendous strike rate. Okay, they're not the biggest ever events, but you can see how he's just someone, almost the sort of opposite of Casey. Casey did win well as a youngster, but Wallace at the moment just gets into position and wins. So definitely someone to look out for, whether it's in play or pre-tournament. And I think the next step for Matt Wallace now is to see if he can land a title with a bit more prestigious, perhaps a Rolex event. I mean, he's in the field this week, so this could be a chance for him. But yeah, definitely interesting when there's a guy you think, can he step up, and he just keeps winning.
Yeah, fair enough. That was last week. Let's look at this week then. A big week of golf, as we already mentioned. And we'll start with the action in Europe, the Open de France, which takes place at the Golf National. Don't make it sound French enough, do I? Le Golf National.
National.
Le Golf National.
Very good.
Yes, it is, in fact, the oldest national open in continental Europe. There's a fact for you, fact fans. And it takes place at the venue for the Ryder Cup in 2018. So we're going to have a lot of talk about that. We're seeing players take part in it that which definitely wouldn't have taken part in it in recent years with a little bit of a scouting mission in hand, perhaps?
Yeah, Justin Thomas has come over from America to give it a whirl, and he's actually said, I'll report back. And you almost wonder why a few more of them didn't come over and have a look. I mean, the USA haven't won a Ryder Cup on European soil for 25 years. You think, in this era of marginal gains, you think they might just come and have a look at the course and play it, but it's only Justin Thomas who's bothered. Surely the rest aren't that busy that they couldn't have done.
Yeah. Well, they may be just like, oh, well, Justin's going, we'll leave him to it and he can report back.
Yeah, but he's, you know, there's 12 men on the team and others. Yeah. You know, if I was like a fringe player on, you know, for the USA team, I might have just have gone there and said, well, I've made the effort. So when it comes to captain's picks, they might, well, he went over there, finished 10th. That gets him the nod. But no, it's not to be. Maybe it's. Do you remember a few years ago, Bubba played it and sort of didn't know what the Eiffel Tower was and things like that?
Really? So, is that right?
I think he took Carl Pilkington's Idiot Abroad sort of literally there. So, So I don't know whether that's had an effect. But Justin Thomas, he's a favourite, isn't he? We've got him as favourite still. He's a strange false favourite for me.
He is the favourite at 10-1, yeah. 10-1 for him.
I mean, he's world number two, so it's done on that, isn't it? But I'm not particularly sure this will suit him.
Okay, we'll get your selections and what you do actually think in the betting there in a moment or two. But in terms of the course itself, 7,331 yards at par 71. Anybody who's looking at this in terms of the Ryder Cup, what will they be noticing? What kind of player do you need? What kind of course is it, kind of thing?
Yeah, you need to find the fairways. There is some thick rough lurking around. So generally, you hit the fairways, hit greens. There's a lot of water in play over the last four, five, six holes. So it is a sort of risk-reward, which is great for the Ryder Cup because you get those dramatic swings. But in terms of this week's event, you can't count your winnings until you're over the line because there's a lot of water that brings double bogey into play. But yeah, I think on the whole you just need to be good solid tee to green, good all round player really. You've got some really classy winners of this event, and I think that'll be a similar case this week.
Let's look at the betting for this week then. Justin Thomas, as we've already mentioned, the favourite at 10-1. Alex Noren is 12-1 with John Rahm and Tommy Fleetwood. Rafa Cabrera Bello is 16-1. Sergio Garcia 18-1. Ian Poulter is 20s. 22-1 for Thorbjørn Olesen, who we've already mentioned quite heavily in this podcast already as well. Andy Sullivan is 25-1 with Matthew Fitzpatrick and Tyrrell Hatton. And it's 28-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. First selection for yourself, Dave.
Yeah, and you didn't quite reach it. I'm going 33s on Martin Kaymer, former winner at the course, the German. So he absolutely loves this place. He's got five of the top sevens as well, so he absolutely adores this place. I think he did once say this is a Martin Kaymer sort of course, which I'm not a big fan of people talking in the third person.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
But anyway, David Tindall thinks he's a good bet this week. So I'm going to play Martin Kaymer, fifth in 2016, fourth in 2015. So those big performances are quite recent as well. It's not just old form from, you know, back in 2007. What I like as well about Kaymer here is that he was runner-up in Germany last week in the BMW International Open. It's just a shot out of taking Matt Wallace to a playoff. So played some good stuff there. And two starts earlier, he was eighth in the Italian Open. So after what has to be said it's been quite a sustained lull, Kaymer's come back with an eighth and a second in two of his last three starts. So I think get him on Le Golf National, a course he loves, a course where he'll be hoping to get in the Ryder Cup picture as well. I mean, he's not on the team if it was announced now. So, you know, he probably needs the wildcard angle, unless he has lots of big performances over the next few weeks, because there are a lot of points on offer. But it is a perfect chance for Kaymer to get himself in that Ryder Cup frame. And I think 33s is a strong field, and there's lots of good candidates. But I thought 33s was a decent price.
You said the sustained lull in there. As an outsider looking in, because I don't follow the golf anywhere near as closely as you or Dave would, I kind of thought, you know, two or three years ago, Martin Kaymer was the name that people were saying he's the big player coming towards the front end of things. And then he's just gone very, very quiet and off the radar.
Yeah, he hit world number one. And in 2014, he won the Players' Championship and the US Open. And I think he was still only 28 or 29 at the time. You're thinking, wow, this guy's an absolute prolific winner. Now what? And he's just gone off the boil. But, you know, class is permanent and all that. And I think the Ryder Cup this year, maybe just the extra driving force to get him over the line. And second in, I mean, you kind of think second in Germany, I bet he comes second in Germany every time. No, he doesn't. He's actually missed a lot of cuts in that event. So the fact that he did go back to home soil with those added pressures and did finish runner-up, I thought was a nice sort of little hint that he's going to play well this week.
Yeah, encouraging sign. 33-1 then. Martin Keimer, that's the first selection for Dave Tindall. 33-1 each way as well. Fifth of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 on the Open of France here at William Hill. Who's the second pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit further down the betting here and go for a 66-1 chance in Soren Kjeldsen. Is he 66?
He
is 66, yeah. Again, played well in Germany last week, tied seventh. That was actually his best result of the season, so Kjeldsen could be coming into form at the perfect time. He was first for driving accuracy in Germany last week, sixth for greens in regulation. So that tee to green play, which I think you need to have at Le Golf National, he absolutely, you know, had it in spades in Germany last week. I didn't really sort of have an idea of what his form was. I guess it was fairly decent, but I did check his form at this course, and it's outstanding, really. 12 finishes have tied 26 or better, so he's, you know, he's almost guaranteed to play well there every time he tees up. Four top 20s in the last five visits from Kjeldsen. Got an eighth and a ninth in there. You could argue that the eighth and the ninth isn't much good for each way backers, but, you know, it's a shot or two, and I think if he's that near virtually every time he plays at Le Golf National, one time he's going to get into that top six and get the each way money. So I thought at 66-1 he could be a decent outsider, just a calm straight hitter, tends to play well at this time of year as well, and on this course I think he can maybe just plod along while some of the big names like Justin Thomas maybe, you know, flatter to deceive. But I think Kjeldsen can keep it going for all four rounds and sneak us a place and who knows, even a win.
Okay, that's the second selection then. Soren Kjeldsen at 66-1. Anyone at huge prices that you considered, or anyone at the top end of the market you thought maybe just not quite tempting enough this week?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play an each way cross Atlantic double.
Right,
how's that for you?
Yeah, I do like that. That's a sign to move on, I think, as well.
I actually did some sort of slightly aggressive hand movements when I said that.
Thankfully, I'm on the other side of the desk, so I felt perfectly safe. But it could have been threatening. I almost got HR involved. Let's move over to the PGA Tour event then, the Quicken Loans National, where Ricky Fowler is the 13-2 favourite, Tiger Woods is 12-1, Mark Leishman 16s, Francesco Molinari is 20-1 with JB Holmes and Kyle Stanley, Charles Howell is 25-1, 28-1 for Bo Hostler and Jimmy Walker, and it's 33-1 or bigger prices for the others. Quick resume for the National then, or the Quicken Loans National.
It's a tricky one because we've only got 1 year of course form. They've moved this tournament around Maryland, so that's never ideal, which does make it a tricky betting heat this week. Talking of heat, it is going to be very, very hot there in the 90s, so maybe some of the big lads could struggle. But yeah, looking at the front of the market, Ricky Fowler, I think he's got a great chance. He was third when it was played there last year, but if you're backing Ricky Fowler at 7-1, I don't think that's the smartest move you can ever do. He just doesn't win enough at that sort of rate to justify a bet. Tiger's 11, we're kind of waiting for that first.
Out of 12.
12.
Even better.
Yeah, if you'd said 50s, I might have been interested. But yeah, Tiger, we're waiting for that comeback win, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is for his foundation this week, so he's got a lot on his plate. Again, I can't be backing him at 12s when he's not won for 5 years, to be honest. So again, I'll be happy to see him win, but I can let him go at that price. So when I mentioned that cross-Atlantic double, it's probably because I don't quite fancy him at the price on his own, but I'll throw him in with another one. So I like Molinari here.
20-1.
There was an interesting case, because I thought, well, why is he not playing at Le Golf National? He's got a fantastic record. So I went onto his Twitter page just to see. It was in Italian, and my Italian's a bit rusty, to be fair. Having abandoned night classes after 3 weeks. I think it was snowing, it put me off. Well, I don't think I was dedicated, was I?
No, I don't think so.
So I think I learned what a black cat was, that's about it. But
as much knowledge I have of French as well.
Yeah.
Similar kind of, I got bored after a few weeks. And I know what sunshine is and teddy bear about, and that's about it.
But Molinari, well, lucky when you click on Twitter, there's a translate button. So I hit that. He said, lots of people have been asking me why I'm not playing in France. And he didn't really say why. He just said it's worked out better for him to play over here. Anyway, well, let's respect that. So I think he can play really well. He's in great form. He won the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, second in his home Italian Open, tied 25th in the US Open. That was an excellent knock as well. So I think any course he plays on at the minute, he was top 10 in this event a couple of years ago on a different course, admittedly. But I think he can play well. And at 20-1, he's going to be the first part of my cross-Atlantic double. And I'm going to throw him in with Ian Poulter back in France. We're talking about the Ryder Cup this week. I mean, Ian Poulter, Mr. Ryder Cup, isn't he? He's got a great record at Le Golf National as well. And he's in fine form, Ian Poulter, this year. Again, you think, is it just the Ryder Cup? Is he sort of putting that extra bit in to get himself fit for September when the match against the US starts play? So even though their prices were maybe just a bit skinny individually in each event, I thought if I put them together, a point each way, cross-Atlantic double, 20s and 20s, is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so that's going to be a juicy payout if it comes off, but maybe we're looking at the each way element of that. But I thought it was a decent way to get two players I liked on board.
440-1 the double.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it'd be very nice. So this week you're going for Ian Poulter and Molinari in Francesco Molinari in a each way cross Atlantic double. And
1 point each way cross Atlantic each way double. Yeah, and then just in France, open to France, I will go a point each way Martin Keimer at 33s and half a point each way Søren Kjelsen at 66s.
Very good. Thank you very much, Dave. Been a pleasure as always. Very best of luck.
Cheers, Mark.
And enjoy the golf this week. That's the thoughts of Dave Tindall then on the week's golf action coming up. And very best of luck with those bets. Don't forget to tune into InPlay Radio for updates on that as well. And you can, of course, tweet Dave Tindall if you want to get his thoughts further on through the week. It's
at Dave Tindall Golf.
You know, exactly what it says on the tin. yeah, thank you very much for listening to this golf podcast and enjoy this week's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.